Crosstalk time, and joining us right now, Shidano and Cappy.
Lip up.
Yo, yo.
Got the megaphone rolling. Shidano, what's up?
I'm good. I'm doing much better than the Lakers, that's for sure.
That was a cheap shot. That was some low-hanging fruit right there.
Well, it is, but it's also accurate as well.
It's real. Getting real.
Hey.
Stop playing David Bowie.
Did you hear LeBron's tweet, though, George?
The tweet?
I mean, the Instagram.
The Instagram post. Yeah.
He said, keep going, kid.
Keep going, kid.
Well, I mean, listen. You know, what are you going to do? I'm not surprised that Instagram post was made. That's who he is, right?
Yeah. That is who he is. I we were talking today a lot about the Lakers. It's not really, it was not the most, it was an honest show. I'll say that. It was an honest show.
Honest, wow.
Is that because Ireland wasn't here today?
Oh, wow, Cappy.
Ouch.
Wow.
I mean, the way Steve said
I just want for the record that I didn't say that and Cappy said
like to say I didn't say it either. Cappy interpreted it that way.
That's correct. The way you said it, today was an honest show. I think I interpreted that as when John's here, he works for the team. Everybody kind of gets that.
Yeah.
Nobody holds that against him.
I did not say that. I just want everyone to know, because I said it, but I didn't
interpret it that way.
Wait, you and I, Mason, get blamed for everything around here. Yeah. So I just want to say we were not the ones that said that.
That was Cappy.
Okay.
That
but
was
I'm also the one that's saying it's very early, guys. I mean, come on. Let's not all freak out. Come on.
Yeah,
really?
It's only four games.
It's only four games.
It's only four of 82.
Yeah.
Cappy, only 5% of the season. I didn't know that you had that in you.
What part?
To just completely stab Ireland like that. That was pretty
good. Did I stab him?
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, you kind of stabbed
him. Yeah, that was
I kind of felt like Mace set me up for it.
Yeah, no, but I...
No,
but
you gotta own that. You
totally
gotta own it. Swing your sword, man.
Me, and you interpreted it that way. You went there, so you're there.
I kind of... It's making me like you a little bit more. You just seem like this like real laid-back San Diego dude.
You want to get really honest for a minute?
Yeah, let's get really honest.
Get really honest.
Let's get after it.
I need a little let's get after it.
Okay, so... John Ireland obviously is an employee of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And he always says your toughest job is trying to make your boss happy.
Yeah.
So when he is in a situation, he's in this situation all the time, where he is, for example, defending Westbrook or, you know, whatever, his hands are sort of tied, right?
But I don't believe John is being insincere. He really loves Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, he really does love him. Yeah.
Russell Westbrook. He does.
But I feel the same feeling sometimes with that Ireland does, but in a different way. Like my job is to tell you what's happening and why they might have done it, but it's not my job to tell them what to do.
Like
you can do that.
I can ask the whys, though. I'm asking the whys.
So I always get in a weird spot where I have to be like, well, this is what they should do, right? Like, and sometimes I can step outside of it and find a way to say it. But you have to be objective. You have to be objective and say, like, well, here's what's going on, and here's what they're thinking, and here's what that person's thinking, and yada yada yada.
See, I'm in the cool spot because I actually have to do both. I have to be in between you and Mason there. Well, actually, I don't really go in between. I just color all over the place. Basically.
Yeah, you're all
right.
But it's just because of the different roles I have that I get to color all over the place, and people are just like, all right, that's just what he does. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
See, I where I'm at. I'm on the outside looking in. And so I'll just say whatever the hell I want.
You're on a boat somewhere.
Well,
that's where I am too.
Yeah. I'll say whatever.
Right. Because here's the thing. I don't have to go into the locker room. I don't have to interview these guys face to face.
Yep.
I don't have to see them if I don't want to see them. And so I don't have to worry about it. I'll tell it the way I see it.
Yeah. I mean, I watch game. Yeah. I talk about game. That's all I need.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
I mean, I can analyze it all. You can break it down. You analyze it. Here's what this person's saying. Here's what that person's saying. Here's what I think.
Yeah, but I don't think, Ramona, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. I mean, I know I've been in this place, and I know you have, too, where you have said stuff,
I'll say stuff.
People will come up to you, and you have to have that adult conversation.
Yeah,
how I feel, dude. Sorry, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what I think sometimes, and like it's, but I'm also like not in charge. Like, I don't run the team. Like, it's, you know, that's their, what they got to do.
Hey, Cappy, are you just like la, 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 everything's fine, 0-4, so, you know, it's the early in the season, blah, blah, blah.
You know, he's being sarcastic.
I'll tell you this, I'm not nearly as like, the earth is crashing down and, you know, the sky is falling.
The sky is falling.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
Fell.
I kind of feel like. LeBron after the game, I feel like LeBron after the game said, hey, look, we got a new coach.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of new players. We haven't all played together for very long. And so right now, again, just interpreting, right now we're not really very good.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still 77 games to be played, or is it whatever it is. There's a lot of basketball left to be played. And there's a lot of things that can happen along the way. So I can't be giving up through four games.
Well, it's not a matter of giving up. It's a matter of just being
honest.
Well, I mean, yeah, look, the honest is they're not very good through four games.
Yeah, they're not very good right now.
No, there has never been an NBA champion that started 0-4.
Yes.
Never.
No, that's why I said yesterday was a must win. Because there are 3-1-3 teams that have gone on to win the championship. There's never been an 0-4 team. So, yeah.
But if you're being real, did you believe this team could win a championship?
I thought they could. I honestly, for real, thought they could be a six seed.
Okay.
That was the upside of my expectation.
Too.
And and you know, I now see that was
generous?
I was wrong. I was totally wrong. I can't believe, and I've said this to Momo multiple times now, I just think the construction of the roster is so terrible. Now, granted, they're playing defense, but the idea of LeBron is always surrounded with shooters, and they don't have, as LeBron has said himself, they don't have a good shooting team. They don't have a bunch of lasers on the team.
So, Momo, so Mason, I'm glad you brought that up, because I talked to somebody that wasn't necessarily related to the team, but their logic was, well, I mean, you look at that championship team, they were like 22nd in shooting that year, but my response to that was, but those guys could shoot it, they just shot a poor percentage that year.
That team was just so much more deep. Like, they had so much more depth. They played together in complementary ways.
Right.
Kyle Kuzma was effective for them.
Oh, he's good defensively.
Caruso,
KCP was great.
KCP, like, I think, hey, talk about not taking somebody for granted. KCP was taken for granted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, when I saw him last night, I was
what
like,
what happened to that?
Mana from heaven, exactly.
No more Mana. I mean, you know, like, they got rid of the Mana. Like, he was really... He was an effective player for them. He played all the time. He didn't need the ball. He was a low maintenance
good
defender. Nails on the wing. Like, he could hit a three sometimes.
Well, the one thing I noticed last night is that, first of all, Westbrook didn't play, and we still were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Still terrible. And I think what we've done with Westbrook, and I'm ready to acknowledge this, is we're actually blaming him for the trade that brought him here.
That's probably right.
We're blaming him.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we traded for him and what we gave up, right? Because it's all this, you start thinking just in general terms, well, if we had Kuzma, KCP, and kept Caruso, it's a totally different team.
Correct.
And sort of we blew that up when we made that trade.
Right. But he also has not performed to the level of that he was expected to perform too. Like, I think both of those things can be true.
But, you know, you're saying that we're blaming Russell Westbrook. As it was said the very opening night, no matter what happens, he will be blamed for all of it. I still feel like, and I don't know how this transition happened, where a year ago, I think so many people were blaming LeBron and to a slightly lesser degree, Anthony Davis for, I'm going to put this in quotes, but recruiting him.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like this year everybody has forgotten about LeBron and AD and their role in this because everybody's sort of focused on Rob Pelinka, who could have, in theory, handled it but hasn't. So it's almost like LeBron and AD are off the hook and Pelinka is on the hook and the blame is now no longer AD and LeBron in any way.
Well, it's because he had the opportunity to right the wrong, right? Like that was... The Westbrook thing last year, you could say, is on whoever you want to blame it on, LeBron or the collective or all of them or whatever you want to do. But this offseason, this past offseason, that is solely a front office decision at that point, in my estimation.
Yeah, and I think what people want more than anything...
They got greedy. They wanted to extract more value out of the transaction than what was available to them.
And I think what people want now is some level of accountability. Momo was talking about messaging. Well, there is no real... I mean, granted, it's
there was
four
a message
games.
On training on the opening of media day. We will use the picks to... If they think they have it, they'll use the picks. Rob Pelinka says, if there's a trade, that will make them noticeably better.
Right.
And... But we only have one shot to do it.
Right.
One
LeBron
shot.
LeBron invested in us. We're going to invest in him. So that was the message. I still think that's true. I think it just sped up because they haven't won a game
But
yet.
The reality now is, and everybody's saying, well, you know, everybody's going to tank because they want Wembanyama in the draft in April or June or whenever that is. Mm-hmm. And but the point is, once we find out who's really tanking and once they
might be
want
too late.
To give it, it's going to be too late.
But yeah. Too late for what?
Too late to make a deal if you want to salvage this season into anything.
But I'm just going to push here. Salvage what?
Yeah.
The season.
Oh, no. Listen, I'm at the point now where it's like, whatever, dude. Just roll it out and just figure it out.
See, that's what I think, too, George.
But I think people make their choices. And LeBron chose to stay. And he chose to do the contract early. He didn't have to.
Right.
And he chose to sign for the absolute max he could get. I mean, these are choices people make, and there are ramifications to that. And let's be frank, he chose to stay with the Lakers because he said, I believe in you guys to build a team around me that gives me a chance to win. He made
100%.
All of those choices.
Right, I get it. But that also is a problem because they have done a poor... I mean, him believing that they could put a good team around him...
Here's another choice.
I don't know if there's a ton of examples of that outside of the 1 year. You know,
he's choosing. He's also choosing not to publicly criticize Westbrook. He did that the other day. He chose not to. Remember, he said that Dave's question.
Right.
Also, not to privately try to force. Like, he's making certain choices. There, like Kobe would have probably said something already.
Right.
Be a little more direct. Like,
well, let me ask you
something really uncomfortable, and people will not like you for saying
right,
it.
Right, but there's also
but
a difference, Momo. Like, yeah. Kobe's was here since he was 17 years old.
That's
like,
a big difference. You're right. Yeah. And you can say that.
And Ed won multiple championships. But let me ask you this. After this season, LeBron has 2 additional years on his contract. Does that sound right?
Yes, it's a player option after next
one
year.
One and one.
Okay. Yeah. So
it's all Bronny dependent, I feel like.
Well, I really feel like LeBron had to be smart enough to know that going into this season with this current team, they're not even close to a championship contender. So if he can get through this year and then they can get rid of Russell Westbrook in the offseason if they don't trade him and they free up all that money, then the next 2 years he'll put, you know, he'll go all in and assume that the Lakers will go all in to try and win one, if not two. But this year could be a lost year. And as much, George, as you and I talk about how every time you have LeBron, you have to be all in for now, there's got to be a part of him that understands reality that this is about not this year per se, but the next 2 years thereafter.
I mean, yes. In practicality.
Say it, George. Come on, say it.
In practicality, that makes a ton of sense at the time when you're talking about that in August. But when you realize how bad you are, and he's no dope, clearly, so he knows how bad this is, then you're in actuality, and you're like, oh, yeah, this was a lot worse than I thought it was going to be. That's what's happening now.
Okay, how differently does everyone feel, though, if they don't blow the game against Portland?
I don't.
It's still bad.
It's still bad. 1-3 rather than 0-4.
I just think everything's exponentially worse when you haven't got a W yet.
Sure, but at 1-3, I'm still saying they're not a good team. They may not make the. They're probably not going to.
Yeah, I mean, what's on
the
floor is not. Anthony Davis is questionable tomorrow. Lower back stuff.
He held his back last night.
Are
I was like,
right
oh,
back
here we
in
go.
This thing. I mean, all I said, all we said was, if Anthony Davis is healthy. And we're 4 games in, he's questionable with lower back stuff.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
If they wrote a book about you, like you did an autobiography about your life, what would the title be?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because Prince Harry just came out with his.
Yeah, what is it?
And they did a big reveal of what it is, of the title. Okay, here's the photo. You can see it on the live stream. You see it?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's called Spare?
Spare. Do you know what it's in reference to?
No, what's it?
Spare? That he's a royal spare. Not first in line to succession.
Oh, wow.
See, interesting.
I think they're whiners. I think Meghan and
that says a lot, doesn't
Harry
it?
Are whiners, yeah.
You know, I mean, he's donating all the proceeds of the book to charity
well,
and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
it's nice. That's probably...
Sedona, what would your book be called?
Ooh, I'd have to think about that. Yeah, come back to me in a second. Too.
We'll do that tomorrow.
Cappy. Yeah, we should actually do that tomorrow.
Think about it tonight.
Think about it tomorrow.
Oh, we're off tomorrow.
Homework assignment.
Yeah, we're off tomorrow.
Yeah, Lakers basketball.
Yeah.
Text it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, send it to us. We'll relay that.
We'll read it on the
Momo, what would yours be called?
Oh, I don't know. Is it have to be one word? How many words?
No,
do
you can do whatever you
it
want.
Can be any.
What if I told you?
What about that?
Oh, there you go. What if I told you?
What if I told you is good.
That's it right there.
What about this?
I honestly don't think I farted in 2 months.
Yeah, there you go. That one would be good too.
A good alternate title.
You have to think of. I like the one from today.
What was the one from today?
Momo went big time.
Nobody's listening. Keep going, kid.
Keep going, kid. You know, on option B, Momo, where you haven't farted in like 2 months, maybe you should call the book Holding It In.
Oh, that's nice.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that. Except for sometimes when you laugh, you do fart. Yeah.
I just farted.
See?
There you go.
I'm really impressive.
All right. Hey, we gave you a bonus minute there. Coming up next for you. Coming up next. What is coming up next?
I mean, stupidity.
Stupidity. That's what I look forward to on my drive home.
Yep. Could be some fire, though, coming today. I have a feeling George could be fiery about the Lakers.
I have things to say.
Yeah.
That I had to withhold some of it during crosstalk games.
But honesty, right?
Oh, 100%.
Very honest. Listen, I'm
just warning people now. Like, you're gonna probably not gonna be thrilled with some of the stuff I'm gonna say.
All right, good.
Beautiful.
Good. That's a reason to hang around. All right, coming up next for you is Shidano and Cappy. Me and Momo are back tomorrow at 1, Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, yeah.
Yep, yep, yep.
Bam, ba dum, bam. Ding, da, da, do.
Da, 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 da.
Doom, da, da, da.
Bidim, boom, bum.
Dum, bum, ba dum, bum. Bing, ba da, ba. Do, da, da, da. Bing, ba da, bing, ba da, ba, ba, da. Yo, so you were tweeting all night last night.
I mean, not all night.
I mean, the only tweet I put out there was, oh, no, here we go. AD's back. Here we go. So I'm looking forward to you bringing today.
There is no sugarcoating this. They're terrible.
Come on.
Like, that's it.
Come on.
They're terrible.
Stop. Come on.
Don't do this. Don't do it.
It's four games. Come on.
No, they're terrible. Okay?
Come on. Ember's awesome, dude.
Even if they were to, let's say, I don't know, shoot a little better because their defense is good, what are they really? Like, what are they really? Like, let's be real here. What are they? What are they?
When you say what are they?
Like, what are they? What kind of team are they? Are they, I told you at the beginning of the year,
mm-hmm.
the best case scenario, I said maybe a 6 seed. Maybe. That was my best case scenario. And I don't even know if I envisioned that, man. Look, 8 games into last season. I picked them to win a championship last year.
That's like that guy Kitty Cat who calls the show and says, you don't know anything about basketball. That further confirms that. Go ahead.
But then after 8 games, I started the show and said, wait, stop the music. Forget it. I have made a horrible mistake.
Hear that, Kitty Cat? My man George Sedano said, big mistake, not a championship team. He does know basketball.
8 games in, I'm like, this is over. Like, they're not winning a title with this team. And people are like, you're crazy. It's only 8 games. Blah, 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 blah. And yeah, how'd that go? So this team, forget about championship. Like, I don't even think they could be a playoff team the way they're playing right now.
I
mean,
imagine?
When LeBron is sitting there telling Dan Wojcicki and Mike Trudell and Dave McMiniman and everybody there in the gathered media at his locker room, at a locker stall, that, yeah, you know, I probably was looking to get guys involved, yada, yada, et cetera, paraphrasing. And I just need to be more aggressive. that's basically like, I'm just going to have to do this myself kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, and that's not good either. Like, it's good because, yeah, he may sneak you a few wins, but I don't think that that's necessarily what your game plan should be game five of an 82-game season when he's going to turn 38 years old on December 30th.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, George, you imagine, and I'm going to make a comparison to another sport. You imagine the Oakland A's, who won 60 games this past year, 60 and 102. Can you imagine how miserable it must be to be on a team that loses twice as many games as you win, loses 100 games in a season?
Yeah.
When you start spring training and you're the Oakland A's, you don't actually think you're going to win a World Series, but you're hoping, and that's just it, hoping to be competitive. We'd like to just be competitive. If we could finish somewhere nearby 500, we'd really think of that as being a successful year. Could you imagine the Los Angeles Lakers, one of the most historic sports franchises in American sport, with LeBron James, the greatest player of his generation and arguably the greatest player perhaps the NBA has ever seen? Can you imagine these guys with an Oakland A's attitude of, boy, being competitive would be lovely. I mean, if we could finish somewhere around 38 to 40 to 42 wins, gosh, that would be lovely. They were talking about the Lakers and LeBron James. When you say, what are they? I don't know that they can really look into the future of this season and consider that they'll even be competitive. I mean, if I'm being like really honest based on what I've seen through four games. Now, of course, you know, the positive coach in me says things like, come on, guys, it's only four games. What are we getting crazy about here? New players, new coach, new system. Come on, relax. But, I mean, really, I mean, I don't know that these guys are going to be competitive. That's just brutal, dude.
Yeah, look, Laker fans are too smart for this, okay? They know, recent memory, they've seen really bad teams. This one is in that category.
How can LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who, you know, at least through four games is relatively healthy, how can they be this bad with those two guys?
Okay, I can tell you why. LeBron James is 37 years old.
I know, but he's still playing great.
Right. He's still playing great, sort of, at times, right? Like, he can't exert himself on both ends of the floor anymore. By the way, and that's not an indictment on him, he's 37 years old. Of course he can't play offense and killer defense on every freaking possession because he'll blow a tire, for God's sake. And now, Anthony Davis has no excuse. None. Zero. Okay? Like, none. No excuse. If anything, if I'm LeBron, okay? Like, if I'm channeling LeBron for a moment, I'm sitting there going to myself, bro, this is, like, what's happening to me in my... Like, I brought... Here was the deal. I said I'd bring a championship. I did. As I get older, you guys need to take care of me, as in the Lakers. And that includes the front office. That includes ownership. That includes Anthony Davis. That includes whoever else is the coach, whatever. It's like, okay, I'm going to age. Here, I can age gracefully, right? They'll put a good team around me. Nah. And then what happens is he has a miserable game yesterday. Like, awful. One of the worst floor games I've seen him play in a really long time, okay? 8 turnovers. Just awful by any standards, certainly by his. So it's like all the confluences of events are happening at the same time. He's getting older. He cannot be the guy that he was at 25 years old or 20, even 30 years old anymore. And I'm not saying that as an indictment. I'm literally saying that because it's factual. He would admit that, I would imagine, at some point.
I don't know. Would he? Would he really?
Of course. If you know, in a moment of honesty, of course he had to, because every single person would absolutely come to that. You think LeBron knows he's 37 years old.
Yeah, but he also knows Tom Brady won a Super Bowl with a new team at 43.
Come on, man. The rules in football are completely different. You can't touch a bleeping quarterback.
All I'm saying
is... And by the way, they're not... Tom Brady is not playing every possession, like 95 possessions.
But I'm not comparing it apples to apples. I'm just saying that we're looking at LeBron James, and I look at him, as a superhuman. I look at him and go, this guy works out like a beast. He takes care of his body. He's prepared himself for the regular season, for the marathon. And because he's on the floor and because he's wearing a uniform and because I perceive him to be the greatest of his generation, whether he's 24 or 37, I still expect LeBron James to be LeBron James. Now, that may not be on him. That may be on me. But I think that's the way most of us look at him. I mean, don't you think?
How's Tom Brady looking so far this season?
He looks horrible. He looks old.
Not great, right?
Yeah, but
not
he's already won a championship with another team. That's what LeBron wants to do. He wants to win another one. He doesn't care that he's 37. He doesn't care that he's going to be 38 and then 39. He still expects to win. If he's just doing what Charles Barkley said he was the first half against Golden State. Collecting points and having fun.
I mean, listen, if you want to go and do the Hulk Hogan cup your hands to your ears, go right ahead. Are you going to let me talk or you just want to talk?
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, like, do I get a chance to respond or
you just
get
plenty
talking?
Of chances. This is half your show, man. Do your thing.
Okay. Well, you asked me a bunch of, do I think he doesn't want to win anymore? And Charles Barkley's right. Of course I think he wants to win. Of course I don't think Charles Barkley is right. Because here's the thing. But he also has to understand, I can't do this by myself. Like, this isn't 2018 when he dragged George Hill to the NBA Finals. You know what I mean? Like, or 2017 or whatever the hell it was. Like, it's 5 years ago, man. Like, this is real life. This is not a video game, okay? This is not, I got an offensive line to protect me, and I'm only playing half the game. This is, he's got to play both. He's got to play the entire game. Like, that's not, they're not even the same things. So what I'm telling you is, of course, he signed the long-term extension because, as I mentioned during Crosstalk, he said, hey, all right, you know what? When you're in the offseason, like, yeah, they'll figure it out. I'm not worried about it. And then you see what it actually looks like on the floor, and right away, you're like, oh, man, this is not anywhere near what I thought it was going to be.
And let me tell you something. Anthony Davis, I'm going to tell you one thing, George, when we come back. That Anthony Davis should never, ever do while practicing or playing in an NBA basketball game. Never. He should never do this. Ever. It's super critical. Okay. Are you excited for this analysis?
Yeah.
By the way, you mentioned Super Crosstalk. It's brought to you by Coors Light. At least it was brought to you by
Super
Coors Light.
Super Crosstalk? That was like 30 minutes ago.
I know, but I forgot to say it's brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill. So now I have to say Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill. Can you feel me?
I mean, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Anthony Davis, George, should never, I mean ever, not in practice, not in a game, not screwing around with his pals at a park, should never do one thing.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what that is.
What are you going to tell
me? But I'm building the drama right now.
Are you going to tell me next?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you next.
Oh, okay. Then do that. I'm not in the mood to sing anything.
I love how angry you are today.
Oh my God, this team is the most annoying thing ever, dude.
I love it. I love the passion. Come on, you can't find like one little place in your brain or in your heart to say it's only four games of 82 games? Come on.
No, because my brain knows that's not true.
It's not only four games?
My heart, no. You know what? I let my brain navigate more times than not.
Well, let me ask you this.
That served me well, I got to be honest with you.
Let me ask you this. You ready?
Yeah.
You go into a Dodger season, right?
Yeah.
And the Dodgers start off hypothetically 0-8. Mm-hmm. Are you as angry about the Dodgers at 0-8 as you are about the Lakers at 0-4? Or might you in baseball say, hey, come on, it's early. What are we talking about here?
Baseball's different, though. There's just not an apples to apples comparison between the two, because I think that there's a lot more randomness to baseball than there is to basketball. Like, right, well, basketball is controlled by less than a handful of players on a floor any given night for the most part. Whereas in baseball, any random person can get like a little cheap flare into the outfield and you lose a game, like, you know, a wild pitch. Like, there's just so many more variables than there are in basketball.
Well, let me try and sell you on this. You ready? The Lakers, the core of who they are really only about two guys, right? I mean, aren't the Lakers really ultimately just about LeBron and AD? I mean, right? I mean, just based on who was part of the championship team, it's only those two.
Yeah, no. Okay. What I would tell you is this. is that, yes, the most important part of the equation is the top of the roster, okay, in basketball. But that isn't to say that the rest of the roster isn't important. And I'll give you an example, okay? Shaq used to say this all the time, okay?
Chuck, these are the things I used to say all the time. Chuck.
Yeah? Oh, listen to him. Listen to how angry he is today. Just over the Lakers being 0-4. Listen to how angry. He's got no sense of humor today. None. Zero.
He used to say.
Yeah, what'd he say?
That as important as it was for him and Kobe or him and D. Wade or whoever he played with and he won championships, that the others were equally as important. That if he didn't have Robert Horry and Derek Fisher and Rick Fox and those guys, or, you know, when he won with D-Wade, right? James Posey and Antoine Walker and Jason Williams and Udonis Haslem, Alonzo Mourning, whatever. If he didn't have those types, if those guys, that you don't win championships. Look, man, when you're talking about competing against the best of the best, and by the way, that happens even in the regular season on a given night, okay? You are competing. There are no gimmies right now in the NBA, okay? I did tweet this a couple days ago. I think that this season is the most parody that the NBA has had in a really long time. And it was like, oh, you're crazy because everybody's tanking from Wembanyama. Yeah, but that'll sort itself out just because it's just the the natural way things flow eventually. Like the weaker teams will weed themselves out after competing night in and night out against the best teams, Cappy. But what happens is there are more contenders in the NBA this year than there's ever been in my lifetime, at least. And in both the East and the Western Conference. And then what the other thing is that even the crappy teams, the so-called crappy teams, have somebody that can just snatch a win from you any given night.
So, does that include the Lakers?
Yeah, it does. It does include the Lakers because they have Anthony Davis and LeBron.
Speaking of Anthony Davis, let me pay this off for you. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead. What was your thing? I don't even remember.
Here's what Anthony Davis should never do. He should never do it while playing in a game. He should never do it ever in practice. Anthony Davis should never go to a park with his pals and do this. And by the way, if I were Darvin Ham and I saw Anthony Davis doing this in a shoot around, in a practice session, I'd blow my whistle and tell him, don't do that. You have any idea what I'm talking about?
What is it?
Shooting threes. Anthony Davis should never, ever shoot three-point shots. Ever. You know why?
Why?
A, he's not good at it. And B, he plays much better when he's going to the basket. All of this talk over the last few years, AD doesn't want to be a center. AD doesn't want to play that position. AD wants to be a power forward. No, bro. As big as you are, as strong as you are, as long, as physical, and with your skill set, you play close to the basket. You do not shoot three-pointers. Period. And if he were shooting them in practice, I'd be like, yo, hey, don't even practice them, dude. Because you're never going to do it in a game. I would dissuade him and discourage him from ever shooting long range. Seriously. What do you think of that? What do you think about that commentary?
I mean, never is probably a little too...
Is that too strong? Is that too much?
Yeah. Never is probably excessive, is what I would say in 2022 in the National Basketball Association, to not shoot threes. But I would say that to minimize those attempts, I would not be against that. Yeah.
I mean, the guy was, I mean, granted, he was only 0 for 1 last night. All I'm saying to you is...
Right, well, there you go. He was listening to you.
Thank you. All I was saying is that when he goes to the basket, where he's really great is slashing to the basket, taking the ball and dunking it, alley-oops that he goes, rebounds that he goes and gets and puts back down. That's where AD belongs.
By the way, he also got outworked on both ends of the floor in a lot of ways by Nikola Jokic yesterday, who he used to dominate.
Dude, Jokic... For a guy who's as big as he is, and I guess I'm going to say kind of like unathletic-y looking.
Right.
God, he's
athletic.
He doesn't
look like he should be what he is.
But he's amazing.
He is amazing.
The guy has such a touch with the basketball.
Yep.
And when he's floating through the air, and granted it looks like Phil Mickelson who just won the Masters and he's jumped about 3 centimeters off the ground, he's got this touch that is so finesse and so sweet. And yeah, I mean, and listen, for a guy, again, who kind of doesn't look like a great athlete, he went around AD last night, like blew right by him. Must be the back.
And also, was, you know, I watched this today on NBA Today, and it's hard to really describe on the radio without visuals, but he did an unbelievable job. If you get a chance to like watch it on like the on like on demand or whatever,
mm-hmm. yeah,
go like I'm not you because you won't do it.
Oh, but no.
There's no.
I thought you were talking about me. I was like, maybe I'll just go back and try and find it right now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you'll find it, but the audience who actually cares about this stuff in a way that you don't, because you care about it, but you care about it enough to troll. I feel like in a lot of ways.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. But
just enough to troll, huh?
Yeah. But I think that for the people that actually care about this in a big way, you can watch this. And he pointed out both on offense and defense a couple of occasions where Nikola Jokic outsmarted Anthony Davis and out-hustled Anthony Davis. And neither of those things should happen, honestly, like on a as regularly as I saw in that particular telestration that he did on television.
Yeah, it is very, very frustrating. Okay. But I will say this. I'm a glass half full kind of guy, and I'm not joking around when I say, look, they through four games are a massive disappointment. If you were going to try and go
wait
win,
a second.
Loss, yeah.
What happened to it's just four games?
Well, wait, that's what I'm about to get to. Oh. So look, if you were going to look at the schedule beforehand and try and go win, loss, optimistically, you might think right now the Lakers might be 2-2, right? I mean, you might think, you know what, they'll beat Portland, they'll beat Denver, they'll lose to the Clippers, they'll lose to the Warriors, they'll be 2-2. And that's if you were being generous.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of the situation is, we all know they're 0-4. And last night's score...
They're 0-4 and have the worst point differential in the Western Conference through 4 years.
Right. Not good. I mean, not good. But listen, you got Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
They have an all-time awful offense right now. Like the only two teams that you can actually compare them to are the Sixers who tanked, the process Sixers, and the Charlotte Bobcats of like back in the day.
I understand. But here's where the it's only four games positivity
comes in. They're not even the Bobcats anymore.
Corporate Greg Bobcat. You have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis is already nursing a sore back, and everybody else, Patrick Beverly, Lonnie Walker IV, Matt Ryan, the former quarterback, Wenyen Gabriel, Brown, Toscano, I mean, none. They didn't play with any of these guys a year ago. Mm-hmm. Zero, mm-hmm. other than Austin Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a new coach mm-hmm. who has already installed a significantly better defense, and you've got a whole bunch of guys that haven't played. And I'm just going to tell you guys, my perception is, outsider here, you have LeBron James on the floor. You could put four bums out there, and he can still win with them.
No, man.
Clearly not the case.
Not anymore.
Okay.
Now, that last year should have proven that wasn't the case. And by the way, of course that should be the case at 37 years old.
But all these guys that LeBron and AD are currently playing with, they didn't play with these guys a year ago.
Okay.
They didn't have this
coach. But
wait
a second. I understand. But like... The point is, you clearly cannot just put, to use your words, four bums around LeBron and get to, you know, and be a great team. Like, that is no longer the case.
Right,
and,
but that's why it's
that
only four games.
That happens to everybody.
But that's why, if after 30 games, and maybe that's a little bit too much, let's call it 20 games.
Yeah.
If after 20 games, they are still this bad, and look, yeah. LeBron said we got no lasers on this team. Okay, I don't think all of a sudden guys are going to become great shooters. They are who they are. But it's still only four games of 82, and you have two guys that have played together, and I shouldn't even really say that, because LeBron and AD were hurt so much last year that they didn't play together very much. So I hate to say this, but it is the reality. They are a completely new team with a completely new coach, and they are only four games into this completely new situation. I mean, that is true, isn't it?
Yes.
You just don't see any climbing out of this, do you?
What are you trying to climb to?
Well, I mean, what do you think the ceiling is for this team this year?
I'll tell you on the other side. Ooh, great song. And it is Cranky Coworker Day, and it's the perfect day for that.
Yeah, you're cranky today, pal.
And I just told that Pennywise HB guy, go find something else to listen to if he doesn't like it.
I love when you get all upset.
Screw that guy. Pennywise ass HB at Twitter.
Yeah, this guy on Twitter kind of came
out.
No,
he's the same guy that the last time I was in a cranky mood was all bent out of shape. About, bro, if you don't like it, go listen to something else. Dale, fuera.
Yeah. See, the guy tagged me in this tweet, and he was like, you know, Sedano here, but not didn't call you by
name. No, he didn't actually call my name out. That's the worst part. That's why you're a jackass, bro. Yeah, so that's why you're a jabroni, bro.
So he says, he's like, you know, listen, this guy, I mean, you know, he's totally disrespecting you, man. I mean, come on. I mean, this is sports analysis. We're kind of going back and forth with some opinions here. And I wrote back to him and I said, well, who are you speaking of? You know, and tell me who are you talking about here, pal? And if you have somebody you want to say something to, then tag him so that he can see it. And apparently he was talking about you, George.
Yeah. And he's a jackal.
He's got you really upset today.
Jabroni.
I'll tell you what, this is all LeBron's fault. All of it, every single thing. Not Russell Westbrook, not Jeannie Buss, not Rob Pelinka, LeBron. This is all LeBron's fault. The reason George is behaving the way he is today, it's LeBron's fault.
It is?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, he's part of it too. They're all part of it.
Putting it all on LeBron.
I'm putting it all on this franchise. I mean, if you would have told me, I'm going to get to Fat Jack here in a second, but if you would have told me when LeBron got here, that we'd only be talking about one title. Forget about one title. Two playoff appearances and only one of them was like bouncing the first round. One title bouncing the first round. I would have told you you're nuts. Like, this is crazy the way it's happened here. But you know what? You know what's also been crazy?
Tell me.
The betting market. You know what? I didn't listen to Fat Jack the last couple weeks, and I've been terrible. And I need to go back to listening to Fat Jack. Go to fatjacksports.com. Follow him on his social channels, at Fat Jack Sports. Jack, my mea culpa is to you, and I need to go back to you because I tried to do this on my own the last couple weeks, and it wasn't the results I expected, that's for sure.
Somebody needs a hug.
Oh, George needs one in a big way. You have no idea, Fat Jack, and you're the guy for it.
First of all, I'll give you a big bear hug. I'm not afraid. A guy's going on Twitter just because they have a Twitter. That does not mean that they should be given any power. You're aware of that, right? This guy, dude, literally could be living in his mom's basement, eating his own earwax. I mean, you have no idea exactly who has an opinion on anything. So I'm not sure. I learned a long time ago that you can't let them get to you any more than you can when you have a bad beat in a game or you lose on a Sunday. We rarely lose on Sundays. And to your point, George, we're having a great year. $100 players up over 4K this year, 18-4 in the baseball playoffs, and those are free. Nobody pays for those. They're given when you get a football and or football and basketball package. We had Miami last night. They went to Portland, won by 100 as a 2.5-point favorite. So I've got under in this college game going right now. Everybody gets the same play. So and during this segment, $99 if you sign up. It's $149. It'd be $149 the minute we're off the air. You go during the next 10 minutes or so to fatjacksports.com. It's $99 for all the football through Monday, and it'll immediately sent out to you automatically via text or email. So I'm sorry you're having a rough start to your day, but the weekend's here, brother, so let's get after it.
You know what it is, though, Fat Jack? It's like yesterday we were talking about how the Lakers were 5-point underdogs to the Nuggets, and George, as I recall, you said you were going to take the Lakers, not necessarily the win.
No, they actually started with the Clippers. They were 5.5-point dogs, and they lost by 6.
Yeah, and you had the Lakers that night, didn't you?
No, that night. I did not bet them again yesterday.
That was what got you so salty.
Absolutely
today.
Not.
No, because you said you kind of went out on your own. You should never do that on your own.
No, I was talking about football. Jack. Yeah, I was talking about football.
Yes, don't make your own picks. Only do what Fat Jack tells you to do.
Well, I was rolling, and then, and Fat Jack and I were on the same page, and then I was like, I got this, and this is why I need Jack, and this is why you need Jack, too. Not you, but everybody, as in you who are listening right now. FatJackSports.com. Follow him on his social channels, at Fat Jack Sports.
Yeah, let's stop betting the Lakers for once. Let's not play them until they. I had against the Lakers the other night, and it was a winner, and it's post side. But basically, they were up one. They were giving three, I think, and so I had the underdog. And the next update, I wasn't watching the game. I was doing something else. I look at the next update. It's Russell Westbrook misses a 16-foot jump shot with like 28 seconds to play or something. I just kind of giggle to myself. Because I'm just looking for no overtime and no foul at the end and stuff, and that's not what you want
with time running down is Westbrook taking a jump shot from who knows where. So let's not bet the Lakers. There's a lot easier money to be made this weekend for sure.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Fat Jack. As far as tonight goes, I'm surprised that the Buccaneers are 2-point favorites. Granted, they're at home, but I feel like I'm watching the demise of Tom Brady. So, A, why are the Bucs favored? And, B, where should we be thinking about in this game?
Yeah, the Bucs have the sixth-ranked defense in the league. And people will look at last week, say, well, they've given up, they're getting tired. That's not necessarily the case. I mean, I think it's difficult to expect Brady to continue the same rate he's been playing, which has been horrific, even though he and Giselle seem no closer to getting back together, and it looks like a total dumpster fire. But on the other side of the ball, you've got Baltimore that isn't playing very good defense, and this isn't Tampa. So I think people, it's hard to fade either one of these quarterbacks, but if you're going to, you look defense over offense, and Tampa has the best unit on the field in this game, which is their defense versus any other matchup, and the fact they're at home. That's why they're favored. This game went back and forth. Baltimore was a 1.5-point favorite earlier in the week. Now that it's getting closer, people are happier playing Tampa minus point. I agree with the people. I think that Tom Brady is never going to be back to a playoff-type quarterback. I think this probably is his last year. But he has enough short-term pride, and they have enough defensively that I think that they'll put up fights here and there. And I think tonight's one of those nights. So I would go ahead and lay the point and play Tampa.
Are there any other games that you look at in the NFL this weekend that you see, there's some sort of market inefficiency there?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of that. You're going to get those every week. The reality, the fact that we only have one game where two winning teams are playing each other, and the teams are the Giants and Seattle, that tells you all you need to know about the league right now.
Right.
And there are some spots like that we've got some overrated teams. I think the Giants are certainly going the right way. They're a great story, blah, blah, blah. Jets, same thing. Both those teams are highly overrated, and I expect them to come back down to reality. Seattle's one of those teams. No, we're still playing catch up with them. They haven't, you know, they're one of those teams that weren't expected to do well early in the year. Preseason, they lose Russell Wilson. That has done nothing but help them. Seattle's also covered four of the last five in the series, so I think Seattle gets it done. The other thing you got to be careful with this time, this week, and really going forward are two things. You've got to be careful with recency bias. We looked at Kansas City losing Buffalo at home, and they looked horrible. Well, they went back on the road, got after it the next week, and beat San Francisco. Now, yes, San Francisco losing to a team that they really don't match up real well with. But when they come to L.A., that's the type of spot they typically excel in. They've covered, five in a row against Los Angeles, and it's because if you're not going to run away from them offensively and keep them around, they're going to be in the game. That's exactly the type of game they want to play. And with McCaffrey getting another week of practice under his belt, that's a tough spot for them. The other thing to look for over the next two or three weeks are teams that we know have something over the first part of the season that we can count on, i.e. a good defense with a bad offense. That combination is one of the easier money-making combinations in the league. Tampa, Denver, Indy, all three of those teams, bad offense, good defense. They are combined 3-18 to the under. 18 of the last 21 games those teams have played have gone under. So we're going to take advantage of that over the next two or three weeks as well.
Fat Jack, I'm looking at the Sunday night game, the Packers and the Bills, and it's hard to believe that Aaron Rodgers finds himself as an 11.5-point underdog, but to your point, they're 3-4, so this is not two winning teams playing against each other. What do you think about this game? You got a strong opinion on this one?
Yeah, the minute you figure this one out, you can leave Twitter behind and just come work with me. Because if you want to try to fade Aaron Rodgers as a double-digit underdog, you are looking into the eye of the tornado. He typically performs really well in this spot, but this year, not so much. Buffalo's beating the point spread by almost 10 points per game. They're not just covering. They're 4-2 against the spread, but on average, 9.8 points per game is how much they're outperforming the line. So double-digit favorites in the NFL do really, really well, but you're typically not looking at double-digit favorites against Green Bay. But all that being said, Green Bay, doesn't it look like Aaron Rodgers could phone this one in? He doesn't have receivers. Their defense is so underperformed this year. I can't trust what they're doing on either side of the ball. Buffalo coming off a bye. This team is clicking. If they can put the hammer down on Rodgers and company, they're going to. So I lean toward Buffalo and would lay the points. They've also covered five of the last five in the series when it's been played at Buffalo. So a lot of historical numbers say that even when Green Bay has been Green Bay, they don't necessarily get it done at Buffalo. So I go ahead and lay the big number, although it's a scary bet to place.
Last thing for you, Fat Jack, joining us here as he does every week at this time, FatJackSports.com, and of course on his social channels, at Fat Jack Sports. What do you like in college? Are there any games that stick out to you right away?
Yeah, Oklahoma State still the most overrated team in the country, not a top five offense or defense.
Good. Let me do this. Before you even go any further, I'm going to tell you what I've got, what action I've put on already for this weekend in college. Hold on.
You put action on without Fat Jack?
I put in a little action. Not a ton. I always wait for Jack to put in the big action.
You know where I'm heading, so you could see this one coming. Okay, so you
Kansas
got State.
I got Kansas State in that one, -1.5.
Love it.
All right. I got Mizzou +3.5.
Love it. Love Missouri. South Carolina, Missouri is one of those teams that's played really well about 97% of the game, and then they figured out a way to give away games. And that's the number. You're either not going to bet it or you're going to play South Carolina. So you're anti-ing the public there. Love that play. What else you got?
Texas A&M +2.
No, I can't trust it as far as I can throw them. So no opinion there.
Okay,
that's fine. I'll watch that one with you.
And then I got one tonight, too. Washington State +7 against Utah at the Palouse.
Yeah, I like the under in that game. I think there'd be good defense on both sides, but Utah's been so inconsistent on offense, but they do get a lot of pressure on the quarterback also. So if they get home, that's going to be a problem. If not, you're probably fine. But I think you're not going to lose money with those, I don't think. But
okay, well tell the people why you like your Oklahoma State stuff. Why they're overrated? Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. I figured I'd ask you. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I think you're on the right path on a lot of those. This is a team that hasn't played well on either side of the ball, but continues to get it done. They're being outgained by almost 100 yards a game. The guy that outgained last week, it's smoke and mirrors. That typically catches up with you long term. When they were undefeated, they didn't have a top five offense or defense. They were the only team in the country at that time that were undefeated that didn't have a top five offense or defense. So this is a team that's playing well enough, but that will catch up with you. You've got to play well on at least one side of the ball or the other. And despite the fact they've not turned the ball over hardly at all, that normally regresses to the mean. K-State's covered 4 of the last 5 in the series when it's been played in Kansas. And Oklahoma State has been good on the road, but I think this is a bad spot for them. So I like K-State. The other one I'd look at is a team that's kind of a head-scratcher on Louisville and Wake Forest. Louisville, when they score over 30 points, Satterfield's really, really good. This will be a shootout type situation. Wake Forest, in the top 10 now, yet only a 4.5-point favorite on the road. I like Louisville. I think that you get a shootout with them, they are much more comfortable than having to play defense and score every time they get it. So look for Louisville to pull the upset there. There's a few more, though. Georgia, Florida. I don't know how Florida's going to score any points. I go ahead and lay the number there with the Georgia Bulldogs.
All right, Fat Jack. Find him at FatJackSports.com, on social channels at Fat Jack Sports. What are they going to find there, Jack?
$99 if you sign up here in the next 10 minutes for the weekend. All the football everybody gets through Monday, that'll go back to $149. The longer packages, they're less than $100 a week. Plays are text to your cell phone. They're emailed to you. They're posted. They're documented. What you see is what you get. Go to FatJackSports.com. Sign up today and win this weekend.
All right, pal. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
All right, brother. Have a good week. See you guys.
All right, man. All right, Cappy, we got what you need to know and more Lakers misery next.